Today, we are focusing on a gilded armoire that stood in the chambers of Marie Antoinette, Queen of France, in the Château de Saint-Cloud. This extravagant piece of furniture was made in 1783 by Jean-Henri Raisonnet, a mere 6 years prior to the French Revolution. Between the black and gold panels, gilt bronze flowers, and Marie Antoinette's monogrammed initials molded into the frieze, this armoire would have been by no means a cheap buy. At this time, Raisonnet would have been among the Bourbon monarchy's most frequently contracted furniture makers, and a personal favorite of the Queen's. During the height of his career, Raisonnet made about 100,000 livres annually from commissions alone, which translates to about 1.5 million US dollars today. The existence of this armoire tells a discomforting story of economic disparity. This was at a time when the noble class's wasteful spending on both wars and personal luxury left France deeply in debt. To be completely fair, however, the nation's economy had been in rough shape for some time before the reign of Louis XVI and Marie. King Louis XIV was notorious for fighting expensive, drawn-out wars and for building the extravagant Palace of Versailles, which, of course, cost a great deal. Here's an example to give one an idea of the incredible cost of building Versailles. In just the year of 1684, the amount of money spent on construction was nearly 5 million livres. Of course, one must bear in mind, Versailles was not built in a year. This project was completed over the course of several. In 1685, the very next year, over 6 million livres were spent on the creation of this legendary palace. The subsequent Bourbon monarchs did not do a much better job at handling the financial crisis. In fact, this problem would only increase exponentially as the years went on. By 1775, the crown possessed a deficit of 35 million livres. By 1788, it had progressed to well over 160 million livres. At this time, the livre would have had a fluctuating value due to an overproduction of silver, but a rough estimate can tell us that France was approximately 2 billion US dollars in debt. These horrific financial circumstances are especially startling when one considers that the overall income of the nation in that year was about 475 million livres. That means that paying back the crown's debt at that point would have accounted for about 41% of all total spending in a year. Now, all of this sounds horrible enough in itself, but it gets worse when compared to the lives of the peasantry. In pre-revolutionary France, peasants were extremely impoverished. France wasn't nearly as industrialized as England was at the time, so the vast majority of peasants scraped out a meager living through rural employment. Peasant families worked a set strip of land, which they often had no legal ownership to. In fact, peasants at the time really had no concept of ownership whatsoever. The land was owned by a landlord called the seigneur, the richest, most important man in town. The seigneur's land was only rented by the peasants. Oftentimes, peasant homes were constructed from scrap, such as small stones or the limbs that fell from trees during storms. These peasants generally had very little in the way of personal possessions. In fact, they usually did not even own the tools that they used to farm the land. These, too, were rented from the landlord. Compare this to the extravagance of even just Marie Antoinette's armoire, and it becomes apparent just how extreme the economic divide was between the highest of the upper class and the majority of the poor. The lavish, wasteful lifestyle of the French royalty would eventually make them easy targets for anyone telling tales to stir up support for the revolution. No. The infamous saying, "Let them eat cake," was almost certainly never uttered by Marie Antoinette. But even when the rumors told in the newspapers were false, it was not as if they did not have some grounding in basic facts of economic inequality. This was especially true when one remembers that nobles and members of the clergy were exempt from taxes at this time, leaving the poorest of society to carry the country's spending on their backs. It has been estimated that toward the end of the Ancien regime, heavy taxation accounted for 20% of a peasant family's total income. However, in such a state of financial crisis, magnificent objects like our armoire would not be commissioned forever. By 1784, Jean-Henri Raisonnet would find his contracts with the crown lessening, and his last pieces of furniture before the revolution were forced to be much more restrained and sober in design, lacking his typical heavy use of gold and gilt. Still, even this slight concession in the noble lifestyle was too little, too late. In 1789, the revolution began. Funnily enough, though, Raisonnet would still be able to find employment. Following the beheading of his former patrons, Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette, Ricenot would be commissioned by the new regime, the Directory, to remove all fleur-de-lis and royal symbols from his past creations.